Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I am Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host. I'm sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and I am so happy to be here. And if you weren't watching live, you completely missed out on me not being able to start a show that I have been doing every week for years, a couple years at this point. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Jeff, have you been listening to Deconstruct episodes?
Well, that is what I've been using as a training platform, and I do take notes. Yeah. So, note number one, get no more than 3 seconds into the show before you completely screw it up.
Yep. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I am learning from the masters. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyhow, speaking of the masters, we have all of them here today. Ben, how are you? The good I'm masters, good. Not the evil Time Lord master.
Well, I'm a master of the dark side today, so
that's true.
Yeah, understandable. All right, so everyone, for those of you that don't know what Ben is referring to, the first trailer for the Ahsoka series dropped today. Like shortly before we started recording.
And I thought you were referring to like you being dressed all black and everything.
Oh, that's what I thought.
They're related.
They are related.
They're related.
Yeah. So at some point along the way today, I'll grab the link for the trailer and put it into the live chat, so it's just there for everyone. And when you watch it, you'll be able to appreciate Ben's deeper love now for the dark side.
Yes, I mean literally the blue shirt that I was supposed to be that I was originally going to be wearing is on the back of the chair.
Understandable, and I can completely appreciate it.
To be fair, the dark side usually has more fun. Yeah. Like it's a very uplifting group of people.
That's true. And I mean, ultimately, all they really want is for everyone to have a better, safer galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just misunderstood. Also, they have cookies.
Also, hashtag live marriage aid, please.
And live marriage aid. Yep. Live Sabine Wren. Live Harris and Dula. Just there's so many things that we deserve to see live because they're such yes. good characters.
Yep. Ezra, non-Sith, Dark Jedi.
Right. All of this. We need
And that's
all
just
of
a
this.
Teaser trailer.
Yeah. So yes. Yeah. See, now I'm just done. I'm just playing the trailer in my head, and it's glorious. Yeah. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a good week, been busy week, but today, it's not as cold anymore. We had like last week or a week and a half, the winter came back, but today it's nice and warm, so I'm happy, and a big chunk of my team was already on vacation today because it's a public holiday in Germany. So I had a relatively quiet day.
Nice.
Like some people working in Poland and in Ukraine still and in Austria. But yeah, it's been nice.
Nice. So that means you had plenty of time to watch the Ahsoka trailer if you wanted to.
I did not. I did
well,
not.
Well, good I news. It's still there and waiting for you.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I watched
Cue the
Battle
Blue Lightning.
Mods. Oh, yeah. No, I watched Battle Mods, so maybe that.
Okay. That's really close. It's almost the same.
Okay. Almost the same. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Battle Droids, Battle Droids, what's the difference?
the royalties. That's it right there. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Dave, how's it going for you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. It's great to be back. I missed the last two shows for vacation, so good to be back here in the saddle with all you guys. And Speaking of the weather, we're going to get close to 70s Fahrenheit next week.
Nice.
So it's warm, going to be warming up here, and spring is finally here. And yep, that was a busy week for me, just getting up and caught up after being off for a whole week. But glad to be back in.
Whole week of vacation. Like, how did, who approved that?
I know.
Yeah,
It
it's so weird.
yeah. These kinds of things don't happen in America.
No, exactly.
No, no, I'm
Well,
laughing because otherwise I'd have to cry because it's completely true.
I was in Vegas. I did spend a week there, which is a little much, but we had a good time with the family, so
And now you need a week off from your week off.
pretty much.
Yeah, you know, I've been on a couple cruises over the years, and what I found was that they're wonderfully relaxing vacation events where you're doing so much that when you get home, you need a couple days
Yeah.
to rest and recover from your vacation. And for me, Vegas is not a vacation spot because I just always go there for conferences. So to me, it's
Right.
just a conference place. But with everything that's happening there, I can see how it would be like going on a cruise, but it's just land underneath you. And so by the time you get back home from Vegas, you need a couple days to rest and recover from your vacation.
Well, it helps to have friends there. That's why a lot of times I go. So,
I mean, if
Yes.
Vegas is anything like the airport, then you need a vacation from
Yeah.
that.
Oh, it's
I've
getting
only
it's
ever
get
been to the airport, so I can't tell.
Oh wow. No, it's fun. It can be fun there. You just gotta hit the different casinos and you don't have to gamble. There's plenty of great shows to see.
Yeah, I do have friends that live in Vegas, and the great thing is when you have friends that live there, they know all the things to do that aren't like hardcore touristy.
Right, the
And
strip.
yeah, and I mean there are some amazing restaurants
Oh yeah.
that are not on the strip. And in some cases, they're like tucked away in grungy looking strip malls where if you didn't know they were there, you just wouldn't know they were there.
I did find one, the Golden Steer.
Trying to remember if I've eaten at the Golden Steer.
It was like it's right on Sahara, right? Well, now it's by Resorts World, but
Yeah, I'm not
back
sure
that
if I've
back end
eaten
over by
there.
Circus in the back end there.
Yeah,
That's old school. We were in the Frank Sinatra room, so we had
Ooh.
all my friends, and they're playing Frank music and in a little nice little room and nice big steak.
Nice.
But Jeff, in general, any place you go, when you skip the touristy stuff, it gets more interesting. Maybe that's the
Yes.
reason I haven't been to Vegas, because I'm like,
Yeah.
I'll stay away from the touristy places as far as I can.
Yeah, we went to Red Rock Canyon one day, and
Oh,
I
nice.
purposely said,
That's
"Let's
nice.
go to this breakfast place I've gone to a bunch of times because it's so good, called the Cracked Egg." So we it was off the strip. The food was awesome. It's not as terribly expensive as it is on the strip, and good to be in. Yeah, it's a suburban area, but Summerlin is called. It's nice.
That's
Yep.
usually more interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so best restaurant that I ever ate at in Vegas off the strip with a friend who knows actually he's passed away, knew like all the really good places. It's a crap. Japanese restaurant, and it's in a strip mall, and I cannot remember the name of the place, but what I do remember is that I thought it was incredibly funny that this restaurant is in a strip mall, and the other shops in the strip mall sell costumes for strippers.
Not surprised.
Yeah, and
And how many did you buy?
yes, so much shopping.
See?
Yeah, anyhow, it amazing food, like. Yeah, this was... this restaurant, my friend was telling me that that it's a place where people, when they fly into the United States and they're like in the know, they will make a trip to Vegas to go to this off the strip restaurant.
Yep.
And you wouldn't even know. I mean, inside it doesn't even look fancy. But holy crap, the
doesn't
food.
Have to.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of places here like that.
Yeah. There's this place in Phoenix, like literal hole in the wall. Doesn't have a sign outside. Like if you don't know where you're going, like you will not find it. Has the best Mexican food I've ever had.
Yeah. You know there's a Chicago saying. Find me the rattiest, most mob controlled joint because that has the best food.
Best food.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've also been told that when you're looking for like good Chinese food, look for the reviews that say they have the worst service.
Because the food's focused on.
Yeah.
So anyhow, well, look, we have actually gotten to a point where we can talk about news stories.
And there's something happening.
Yeah, yes. And it was, what, at least 10 minutes faster than on the big show yesterday.
More like 20, 25. We talked a long time.
We did talk a long time, but we were having a really nice discussion.
Yes. Now that we've mentioned news stories since RNN, we're going right to TSO host.
Right. Good news today. TSO host is awesome. Yeah. All right. So why don't we start with the one that I had a pet peeve about, some of the headlines that I saw about an Apple store getting robbed. You don't rob the location, you rob people. You burglarize the location. So here's the deal. I
think you posted the wrong link, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then let's talk about whatever I posted.
Moving the keynote feature we talked about.
Okay, let's talk about the keynote thing.
That was a pet peeve you did have, though.
Okay, so apparently we're doing stuff that pisses off Jeff episode. All right. So here's the deal. Apple is removing Keynote Live from Keynote. And at some point soon? I can't remember.
Yeah. I think it was May.
May, okay. Or is May when all of the Apple services stop working for older
OSs? Oh, it was the Apple services, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Let me check the support document.
Wow. I am so sorry about the cloggy throat. This, people, is why you do not lick cats. You get hairballs. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, I think, okay. I mean, I think they're saying it's in the next, whenever the next release of Keynote is, which, I mean, it's very likely September, October, something like that.
Yeah, that would seem like a reasonable release time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so what Apple's saying now is that if you've been using Keynote Live, you need to switch over to using screen sharing and whatever streaming app you're using.
FaceTime.
Mm-hmm. So from a business standpoint, what this tells me is that no one's using Keynote Live. Therefore, Apple doesn't deem it's worth the money to support the feature.
Yeah. A show of hands, who even knew Keynote Live existed?
Me.
Oh, I did. Oh, I did.
Okay, I didn't. I probably did at some point in the past, but
you probably knew when they introduced the feature and showed it off, and Dave and I, our retinas detached as our eyes rolled back in our heads, and we were like, oh my God. Yeah. So from a business standpoint, I'm assuming that that's why it's happening. From an optics standpoint and from someone that's actually used the feature, I think this is a horrible, horrible decision. And Part of what it comes down to is, of course, I've used it, don't take away a feature that I've actually found useful. But the other part is if you're trying to present Keynote as a professional presentation tool, don't pull out features that professionals can use.
Yeah, the big winner of this, Microsoft.
No, not really. I mean, I don't think anybody's winning anything because of that. I have a theory that even for the people who are using it, like you, like there was probably a challenge getting like the people in the webinar to understand it and use it. And screen sharing is easier because you just look at it and you see it. That's my theory, at least.
Also totally plausible. And you know, I'm willing to accept that that part of the reason, or a large part of the reason why I am so annoyed by this is because it's a feature that I found useful.
Yeah, sure. Like, I mean, I'm 100% with you on that one. Like, if you use it and it goes away, that is annoying. But I also understand the other side, like the business side and also the development side, to say, I mean, if you have to keep it, like you have to maintain it, you maybe want to improve it. Like you have to. It's not just okay. It's done, and you don't have to invest anything in it anymore, other than maybe server cost. Like software has a way of needing constant maintenance and needing money, time and money. Like every line of code that you write, at some point you will also have to maintain. It's a dirty secret of software. So, yeah.
Yeah,
If you
and
can remove it, you're better off sometimes.
I mean, I totally get it and I appreciate it. Still really pisses me off. Okay, here's what Apple could do to appease me, because of course we know Apple has a whole team that sits around and thinks about ways to appease me so that they don't do those things. Get rid of this, but change the way macOS works so it stops stealing the focus from what I'm actually doing. The
That would be awesome, yeah.
Oh my God, sitting here typing and typing and typing, and then some rando dialogue box for some background app pops up in the corner of my screen where I'm not even looking, and it now has focus. So I'm actually not typing in anything anymore. And or I launch an app and then I switch to a different app, and then the app that I just launched, its window now hops in the front and takes the focus, even though I switched to something else. No, these are things that should never happen. And I've had a couple people who are not developers tell me, well, clearly it must be incredibly difficult to do. And how do you know what it is that someone is actually trying to focus on? Oh, it's easy. It's the window that I currently have open. That's what I'm focused on. Don't touch that.
Yeah, unless I interact with something else, it's the window I have last interacted with, I would say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I can tell you that with ADHD, that is really hard because you start your Mac and you log in, and you know all the windows come back and you see something. It's like, oh yeah, and start working, and then another one pops on top of that, and then it's like, oh, I should do, and then another one pops on top of that, and you're constantly getting distracted from the thing that you just saw that you wanted to do.
Yep,
It's really hard.
I'd like to rename this squirrel, or this feature, iSquirrel.
Oh yeah, that's
Yeah,
awesome.
I'm with you. You know, okay, so what makes it worse? And I'm not ADHD, so I can only imagine that this is exponentially more difficult for people who deal with ADHD. When the focus is taken from the window that you're currently in, so in my case, I'm writing, writing, writing. Oh, this other thing has it. Oh, now this other thing has it. It doesn't take more than one or two of those happening quickly before I have lost my focus and it's difficult to get back into what I'm writing. So I assume that if you're dealing with ADHD, stuff like that happening makes it near impossible to be productive.
Yeah, you don't even remember that you were doing something else.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yep. So in other words, keep the live presentation, get rid of Ice Squirrel.
There we go. I'm in. Dave, you've been watching just like you're completely entertained by the fact that I have taken a topic and completely manipulated it into opportunity for me to soapbox about stuff that's pissing me off.
Well, Dave, that's what gives us joy. Just to give you a full open arena here to vent your frustrations.
Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate. Chris
literally had a show entirely devoted to that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm glad that all of you are here for me, so that you can act as my personal therapist. Wow. Yeah.
By the way, that'll be $1,054 a minute.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
A minute. Okay.
Yeah. Well. Okay, considering that it's taking a full team of therapists to deal with me right now, and the things that I'm complaining about in the grand scheme of things are absolutely ridiculous, having to pay over $1,000 a minute seems appropriate. Yeah.
Yep. We'll chart to you. And
yes, yes, he'll take it out of my pay.
No, he'll get it. He'll get the friends and family discount, which is $30 off.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, speaking of discounts, let's talk about a five-finger discount. So this is the story I thought I was starting with, but I didn't grab this link first. And but whatever. I mean, we're professionals here, right? Anyhow, okay.
It's a robbery.
Oh my god. Okay. So here's the deal. There's an Apple Store. Okay, I now have a second pet peeve with stories about Apple Stores having stuff stolen from them. Okay, first, if you break into a store and steal stuff from it, that is a burglary, not a robbery, because you rob people, not stores. The second thing is, when you're writing about an Apple store that's being burglarized, or people in the store being robbed, or whatever it is that's happening in that specific store, when you give the name of the store, tell us where the frack it is. Telling me Alderwood Mall store does nothing for me. Okay, so
very clearly 9to5 just stole this from someone else, because I'm probably some local news site posted, oh yeah, the local Alderwood store, like, yeah. Alderwood Mall, and oh, everybody knows where that is.
So they, Washington. So they took it from Como News.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming Kansas that. City, Missouri. Oh no, yeah. Linwood, Washington. Well, there you go.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you just copy and paste without actually reading what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, for someone local, they probably know where that is. But for everybody else, it's like, where is this?
Right.
But I'm not trying to correct you here, Jeff, but the Mac Rumors article was the one that said robbed.
Yeah, this one says burglarized.
That says burglarized.
So oh, it does? Oh, you know what?
I put the Mac Rumors one in there for you.
I apologize to 9to5 Mac for saying that they said robbed when they did not. Thank you for getting that part right. My other part still stands. Tell me where the frack the store is. Don't just say that.
Both articles say the same thing. Yeah. Don't give you any details where it's located. Some mall.
Okay. And then Mac Rumors. You
right
don't
at the top there. Robbed.
Store. Oh my god. Okay. So well, I'm really ranty today. All right. Here's some quick details on this. I say quick, but I'm just like rambling. Anyhow, so what they did was from a thievery criminal standpoint, it's actually kind of a delicious little story. So they break into the espresso store that's next door, go into the bathroom, cut a hole in the bathroom wall that goes into the Apple store. And from there, they make off with $500,000 worth of Apple product.
436 iPhones. It's what the news article says.
That's a lot of iPhones.
Mm-hmm. Or not a lot.
Well, I mean, considering the size of the hole that they cut through the wall, they weren't big people, so they probably mm-hmm. carried as many as they were physically able to manage.
True.
Yeah. And I do kind of love that the photo that's used for this in all the news stories is the photo of the bathroom. And all of the debris from the hole is in it's been put in like a little shipping box.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's still drywall mm-hmm. on the floor, though.
There's still drywall on the floor. But here's my headcanon. The bad guys, when they broke in, they found a box and they took all the debris from chopping a hole in the wall and put it in this box because, you know, at least they're nice like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Washington after all, right?
State. Yeah, so. That's true.
DC.
No, anyway. State.
State.
Was it Washington State? I thought it was
Washington DC. State.
See, no, here's state. Another reason why, if you're going to say the name of the store, give the location.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Sorry. What am I thinking? Why was it?
Oh, no, you don't need to apologize because this is not on you. This is on the news outlets for failing to do their job.
Yeah, Como News did their job. Like, it's all mm-hmm. in there. Like, in the original article, it's all in there. It's just, like, the shitty reporting from other sites.
Yeah, it's... Okay, so...
Yeah, and by the way, if any of these websites are watching, I don't make these mistakes.
Hey... Yeah, public service announcement. If you are a website reporting on Apple News and you need a quality writer who knows how to do their job well and will not make the kind of mistakes that put me on a soapbox, would not make the kind of mistakes or omissions that when I was a managing editor, I would kick back the story to the author and say, fix these things. What you need to do is hire Ben.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Ben, he's the writer you need. Ben. Just hire Ben. Pay him a lot of money because he is worth it. Ben, the writer you need.
Paid for by nobody.
Yeah, I was just thinking, who's just sponsored that? Yeah, everyone, start the hashtag that Patrice just dropped into the live chat. Just hire Ben.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But I mean,
the other part about this,
uh-huh.
other than grammatical errors, I mean, isn't it kind of stupid these days to actually steal an iPhone? Apple keeps the serial numbers of these on file,
and
nobody will be able to activate them.
Well, and even the parts these days, a lot of them are locked. So, mm-hmm. like, they know which parts are in the phone, so.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so there's two things that are at play here. The first thing is that if you are breaking into places and stealing things, you're not as smart as people might think you are. Because committing crimes like that is stupid. So don't do it. The other part of this is they don't need to be able to activate phones. They need to be able to find people that don't realize that they're buying mm-hmm. a stolen phone and sell mm-hmm. it to them.
So true.
And now, and so they've made their money. They haven't had to deal with activation. I mean, they don't even need to break the seal on the boxes.
Yeah. In fact, it's probably better if they don't.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And yeah, so assuming that the criminals in this case are smart enough to know, don't break the seals on the boxes, don't try and activate any of these phones, find people to buy them, then they come out ahead all the way until they don't.
You know, which, what would be funny? Which... If, you know, since, is it iOS 15 that we've had the, like, the tracking of phones? Like, even when they're locked?
Mm-hmm.
If Apple had, could enable that for, like, new phones.
Yeah.
Because they could just, like, I mean, they have battery, so they could just track them.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if they have that ability.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, if you are buying a new in-box iPhone from or other app device from a third party, make sure to demand the original receipt because that will mm-hmm. have the serial number on it.
Mm-hmm.
If it does not have a receipt, assume it is stolen.
That's excellent advice.
Isn't there even a website where you can look that up?
Yeah, there's an act. Well, yeah. I know for certain technicians, there is a website where you can look up the serial number to see if it's activation mm-hmm. locked.
Yeah. Okay. So, time for the next rant. Honestly, I didn't realize I was picking stuff I was just going to rant about the whole time. But here we are. It's kind of cathartic, actually.
Yeah. Jeff,
rant away.
Listen to your hate. The dark side will make you powerful.
Use your hate to become stronger. Yes, yes, I feel your hate growing. Ooh, did it just get hot in here?
It did.
Just me?
Yep. Yeah, it's you. Well, it's you and Patrice and Dave. It's the hot team. Dave, you just show up to be entertained, don't you?
Oh, I just stick it back here and let you run the show here, buddy.
Are you sure that's a wise decision?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
Sometimes I question it.
This is why Ewan turned over the show to him. He just wants to sit back and...
I'm gonna laugh at these wankers.
My God, you sounded exactly like thank you. All right, so
you bloke.
All right, so here's the next rantable topic. So in iOS 16.4, oh man, yeah, iOS 16.4 and Ventura 13.3, Apple's new home architecture was re-enabled. And so for those of you that need the backstory, Apple has their new architecture that they built into HomeKit and it rolled out with, was it in iOS 16 or 16.1?
It was 16.2,
I think.
16.2, I think.
Okay. I think it was 16.2 and then it was pulled more or less right away.
Right, because it was completely borked and mm-hmm. And it was breaking everyone's HomeKit setup. And so with 16.4 and then Ventura 13.3, it's back in again. And there are people who are saying, hooray, it's working great for me. And mm-hmm. there are people who are saying, what the hell, Apple? You completely broke my my smart home. And
for me, it's working about as well as before, which is not so great. So
yeah.
There is one. So it works mostly. There is one thing that I wasn't aware of that actually caused some issues. Remember that issue where, like, if you have a threat network and you have an older Apple TV that doesn't support threat, and it gets selected as what was it called? Home Hub? Home Hub, yeah. Because of the wired connection it has, then your threat network all of a sudden is super slow. And there was a workaround that where you could simply disable that, like disable the Apple TV to be a Home Hub. Well, with the upgrade, that disappears. So now the only remedy is just unplug the Apple TV and then it works again.
Okay. So, thank you for triggering me, Patrice. All right. So Apple doing things like that just baffles me. The other thing that they did that ties into all of this, and this happened, I think it was with the iOS 16 launch. They took away the ability to move a HomePod to a different Wi-Fi network.
No, that still works.
It doesn't work the way it did. So
Okay.
now it just, your HomePod automatically follows your iPhone to whatever Wi-Fi network it's on.
Nope. Nope,
You.
because I just did that process. It does work, but you basically with your iPhone you have to select the other network and then there will be a button in the settings where you can say transfer to this one. It's on a different network. Do you want to transfer it? And if you hit that, it does.
Did,
Works for
so
me.
they added it back in then.
Yep.
Because
Yeah. For you
they
right
took.
here. See
Oh yeah.
that? Because I have two networks. That I got that mismatch, that warning right there.
Yeah, I
Okay,
have
so they've
that.
added it back in. All right. So here's the backstory for the rant that I was about to have. In iOS 16, Apple took away the feature that Dave and Patrice are using right now and changed it so that you couldn't use this to force a HomePod to a specific Wi-Fi network, and instead your HomePod would just follow your iPhone to whatever network you're on, which killed the ability to address the issue with the original HomePod not playing well on 5G Wi-Fi or on 5G on 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi networks and playing better on 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi networks, and that basically broke a lot of functionality for me on my HomePod. So now that this is back in, I can plug. Here's my workaround. Okay, apparently I do have a rant still. Here's my workaround. I took my old AirPort Extreme, plugged it in, set up you know how you can set up a discrete 2.4 and 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi network. I set up a discrete 2.4 gigahertz network, put the HomePod on that, and then it worked much more reliably. So I had a Wi-Fi network just for one HomePod, and now that this is working again, I will plug the AirPort Extreme back in and put the HomePod back on that network, and gladly have my mismatch thing.
The only thing that's still annoying is now you get all the time that notification that, hey, it's on a different network. Do you want to switch it? I just want to say no. Like it's fine where it is. Just
Yeah,
leave me alone.
the other thing they need to do, especially for the HomePod, is give us a damn HomePod app.
Yeah, just separate it. I mean, it's such an annoying thing to have to deal with this in home, the
Yeah,
home.
and the
Because you
settings are
have to
all
get to your freaking
hidden and
HomePod.
so on. Yeah.
You have to get to your HomePod settings in like three different places in the home app.
Yeah, it's stupid. I agree.
Well, I mean, right now I can't get to my HomePod first gen pair in the home app because I've got the two different networks going on here.
Oh, that works for me. But I mean, it might be because I have some firewall rules that allow that.
Oh no!
Like
Here
I'm.
it is now because I switched to the other network and now it's coming up with a mismatch for the pair. Ugh.
Yeah, I separated all devices onto a separate network. So all the switches and whatever, all of that is on a separate network for security reasons mostly.
You know, problem
Which
is
is smart.
I'm dealing with Xfinity Comcast, and it has to be on their Wi-Fi. Otherwise, you can't use the Stream app to access all
That's
the content.
also
Yeah,
strange.
yeah. I mean, I've got two
It's
internet connections
Comcast.
in my as I've said earlier, and AT&T and Comcast, and unfortunately I have to keep Comcast because of the TV part that a family member who won't be mentioned has to have that TV service.
You know, if it makes that family member happy, it doesn't matter what it costs, it is worth it.
Oh yeah, it is.
True.
But, yep. Hey, you know what? It's an excuse for me to have a backup internet. So
right? <Yes. laughs> See, this is what makes relationships work. Finding the compromise.
Yeah. Yes, well, and why although we're ranting
I did reduce Comcast speed down to 75 megabit. So why am I gonna pay for 800 megabit speed when I already have a 1 gig AT&T fiber?
So yeah,
what's the point?
Makes sense.
It took a little battle with them to finally do that and reduce it. Yeah. So,
and it's still fast enough for.
Oh, it's, yeah. I mean,
as a backup,
75 is that's like a dream for some people.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So all right. So apparently, I just needed another excuse to rant about how frustrating it is that Apple has so much good stuff happening and then frustrates us with the relatively poor home automation support we're getting.
Yeah, I keep saying this about the HomePod and about HomeKit in general. I don't feel like there's a strategy behind it. It's kind of all random and whatever.
Seems it.
I agree. It really feels that way.
It's like we have to be in the space, but we don't know what we want to do with it.
Yeah.
We have to be in this space, but we don't want to be in this space, and we don't know what we're doing.
My guess is that there was a champion for home automation in Apple, and they really got the whole HomeKit thing up and running. And they've left, or they've been reassigned, or something has happened, and there's no champion inside Apple for HomeKit anymore.
Which is why I think Apple's pushing Matter, so they don't have to be the ones that deal with it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on, Jeff. I mean, I know big companies, and that is very often how it works. Like, as long as there's the champion for some project, it works well. If that person, I don't know, gets busy, moves on, whatever, it just dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless that person has made sure that there is more champions in the meantime. But yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah, sadly, it did not. Yeah. But you know what did happen? Two Hoso hosts came along. And they started supporting the British Tech Network, and that's absolutely fantastic, because their support is what lets us live stream shows to you every single week, where you can see, like, yesterday's show, where basically half the show was us just chit-chatting through introductions, excuse me, and it was a lot of fun. Or today, where I'm just completely incapable of starting a show, but once I do, all I do is rant through the whole thing.
Yes.
Yes. And but then on the positive side, you get to see amazing people like Patrice and Ben and Dave. And this is because TSO Host is here for us. They're giving us the bandwidth we need so that we can live stream shows to you every single week. They're giving us the hosting space we need so that we have a place with a website to live and all the show recordings, so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want, which is great, because I'm assuming that there are people out there that go and rewatch over and over, just like they do with whatever their favorite TV series is. And seriously, who can blame you for doing that? I mean, look at these people. You just want to hang out with them every single week anyhow, over and over. So how is it the TSO host is able to so generously give us these services that are beyond what we would be able to afford without their help? It's because this is just what they do. They provide top quality web hosting services. They can help you get your domain names purchased. They have awesome support people, and that's what they do. Now, what they're asking of us in return for being here and helping us out is that we just go online on our favorite social media and thank them for being here and supporting the network. That's all you need to do. Super easy. And it's great karma because you're giving back and they're giving out, and it just, it's like Hakuna Matata, the circle of life, people. So let's say though that you're ready to buy a domain name or you need some web hosting. Well, go hit them up because this is what they do and they do it well. Get all your stuff in your cart and then add the discount code BTN20 and you are going to get 20% off of your order, which, I mean, they're already wonderfully generous. And then they do this on top of it. Holy crap. That's super awesome. So thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. And Patrice, do you mind telling people where they can find the live chat? And while you're doing that, I'm going to go find the Ahsoka trailer so that I can drop the link into the live chat.
Oh, so if you want to see all the links, including that trailer that is exclusive to our live chat. No, it's not true. You can Google it.
It's exclusive and the Star Wars YouTube channel and every other YouTube channel known to Earth right now.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, let's say you still like, you're like, oh, how am I going to ever find that? I don't know where. Well, you can join our live chat. Head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com right now if you're listening to this live, and you can get that. By the way, if you want to do that the next couple of weeks, of course, there will not be a link to the trailer, but there will be a lot of other fun stuff, like all the stories that we talk about, the cool mm-hmm. things, and some other interesting banter that we don't mention on the show. You can do that every Friday 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, and every Thursday 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. Every now and then we have to switch around show times. It doesn't happen very often, but it does. So keep an eye on our socials or on our website, because there's a calendar there. But let's say you are listening to this in recorded form. That's what a podcast is for, in your favorite podcast player of choice. And you're like, oh, I really want, like, I still, I need that link. I just want to see that. You can still get to the chat. You can at least see the transcript for it. So, of course, it's not a live chat because, yeah, that's past. But you can still get to that. And in order to find what we posted today, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there is a little calendar that pops up and you have to select the date. And you select today's date as we're recording this, which is the 7th of April, 2023, April 7th, 2023. And then you're in and you can see the awesome links and everything we've talked about.
Awesome. And thank you for doing that, Patrice. And the link for the Ahsoka trailer is in the chat now.
Very nice.
If you haven't seen it yet, people, oh my gosh, you need to see this. I believe that means it's time for some cool things. So who has the first cool thing? And that would be Patrice.
That
and
would be
I fully
me.
Endorse this cool thing.
Crap.
So
I literally lost my cool thing.
I have picked this before. I've picked this a year ago almost exactly. I've picked this 2 years ago almost exactly. Well, actually, no, 2020. That is Star Trek Picard. This is the last season of the show, unfortunately, and we're at, what was it, episode 8 today? Oh, yesterday. There's not much left. I think it's like two more episodes then, 9 and 10. It is an amazing show. I really enjoyed the entire show. Some people were like, about it. I always enjoyed it. Yeah, there were some issues with writing in previous seasons, or more with pacing, honestly. They knew where they wanted to go, and the middle kind of didn't fit. There were little things here and there in this season as well. But this season was really, really good. Like they like really outdid themselves. It's been a really great season. So yeah, just go watch it. It's all I can say about it.
Yeah, not only that, but they actually went back during the season and fixed a lot of the sloppy stuff from season one as part of the
True,
plot.
yes. Yeah. And also from other shows, to be honest, here and there. Yeah. So yeah, it's just, I mean, honestly, I'm sad. Like I want this to continue. I really hope we get a bunch of really good spin-offs or other shows from Star Trek, because I'm gonna miss Picard. It was honestly probably my one of I mean all of them are my favorites, but I think this was my favorite.
Yeah,
So
this is my favorite season of Star Trek ever.
Yeah. And Strange New World was really good, but this beats it. So
You know, there's something about and this is not a spoiler because this is in one of the trailers. There's a scene where you see the original cast sitting around a meeting table. And when you see that in the episode that's in, it's just like this wonderful nostalgia feeling, and it's just so cool.
And you know what's really nice as well is this is not just a like a nostalgic trip, which it is, but it's not just that. It also is something that I don't think Star Trek has done at all, or not very well so before, showing how characters evolved over long periods of time. Like, I mean, like, sure, like in Next Generation, there was a little bit, a tiny little bit of character development, not a lot, but they evolved over time. But I mean, that was at most 7 years. But I mean, this jumps ahead 20 something years, 20 years, right? So yeah, it shows more mature people, more grown people, more like battered in some cases, which is something we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the only time we have seen anything like this was the similar time jump during the TOS movies.
True.
Yeah, but I think they did a better job of
Sim.
showing
Yeah.
evolution of characters here than they did,
Yeah.
but you know, it'd be like in the first time we had a real jump like that would have been Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, different times. Like back then, they try to keep things as close to like what it was before as possible, because that was the expectation. We're a different audience these days. So yeah, I mean, like in Discovery, they jumped in time, but it was the same crew. They didn't evolve really. So yeah, as I said, I'm sad. I really want to discontinue.
I'm really
Like,
hashtag
I want to see Worf in it, like have his own show and like
Worf and Raffi.
spin-offs.
That needs to be a
Worf
show.
and yeah,
Yes.
exactly. Like all of that. So yeah.
I want
This
to see
is the best
a
season.
Shaw and Seven series. Dave, I just
Oh
spoke
yeah.
over you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Oh, I just was saying this by far of the three seasons, this is the best ever.
Yeah, it's really
Yeah,
nice.
this is exactly what I wanted when they announced Star Trek Picard.
Me too.
All right,
Okay,
so they did
well,
the first
in
season.
typical Star Trek fashion, it took them a while to get there.
You have to get to season three, and then it really takes off. That's the Star Trek way.
That is the way.
This is
That
the
is the
way.
way. This is the way.
Ben, tell us about your cool thing.
Okay. This one I kind of came up with our friend Kelly Gamont in mind. Modern keyboards with scissor keys are very, very quiet.
Oh my
Some of
God.
us nostalgically might miss that old clickety clack of mechanical keyboards. I don't, but some might. But this, in kind of a way similar to the fake exhaust noise and engine noise on EVs, this gives you that clickety clack sound effect back as you're typing on your Mac.
I think I know a couple people that I just need to buy this for.
The good thing
and
is
they will hate me.
No, the good thing is if you're wearing headphones while doing that, it doesn't disturb anybody else.
Yeah.
It's just, oh my God, I love this.
Spend your money.
This laugh, it's because I'm going to buy this as a gift for I know two people who hate the sound of the clicky clacky keyboards. And so I'm going to buy this for them. Just, my God. Ben, thank you for this.
I would want it to be the other way. To get rid of clickety clack keyboards altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And it's number one in utilities, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, on the Mac App Store, it's not saying much.
Yeah.
A lot of good reviews.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
There is that definite, I mean, by the fact that Mike Hurley definitely literally has a show about it, mm-hmm. there is still that ecosystem for mechanical keyboards.
I am very much in the mechanical keyboard ecosystem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and they're not exactly possible on a modern low profile laptop.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait until Apple builds this in. Like they're just going to find a way to basically you can configure like how clacky your keyboard is.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to Sherlock clack.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very Apple way to do this.
That's awesome. Dave, tell us about your cool thing.
I got, I think everybody knows about this one. It's called Mac Updater, and it's from Core Code. They do a great job with keeping all your apps up to date effortlessly, so you don't have to figure out what app isn't up to date. It scans quietly in the background and maintains a list of all the apps that you have, and if it needs to be updated, you can do it right on the fly for most apps right from this app, and not have to open up the applications to actually run the update. So it's got a free version where it does just basic scanning, but support these guys. It's $15, and then you get a lot more things that go with it, which is cool. But yeah, this is a good thing. I use it all the time. It's worth every penny.
And they've been around for a
long time.
40 years? No, not quite properly. Oh,
yeah. They've got some other apps. Yeah, they got a lot of other free apps too. So yeah, they've been around forever. They've kind of been in conjunction with Mac Updater, the shareware site that's been around forever too.
Very cool. Yeah. Okay, so these are all awesome picks. And I feel like the bar is set very high today. And which usually means that I've brought like a stupid joke site or a remote control sex toy or something. Yeah. But today I think I actually have something that fits in, and it's an app called Mac Whisper. And it's it is not the opposite of Clack. It's a transcription app for your Mac. And so if we wanted to have a transcription of this show, what I would do after the recording is done and I've got the video file, I just drag it onto Mac Whisper and let it crunch through the whole thing, and it will turn everything into written text. And this app works so well. They have different language sets. So they have one that's just English, and then they have one that's I think it's like 10 languages and English is one of them. And so if you need to do transcription with multiple languages, go with the multi-language set. If you only need English, just do the English set because it will give you an overall better transcription. But here's the thing. It is so good anyhow at getting the words right that having the better language set for just English, you're probably not going to notice any difference or very minimal difference. And so it's, you can download it and use it for free. And it has like three levels of language sets to choose from. So you can get one that's like super basic and it'll be faster, but it has a higher likelihood of misinterpreting some of your words. They do have like a pro level, which is like 16 euro perpetual license. And then you get the even better language models and a couple extra export options as well, because you can export your transcript into like a CSV file or VTT or just a text file. The pro levels you can export as HTML or PDF. And you can assign people, speakers. The one thing that unless it's it can figure it out, and I just don't know how to do it yet. The one thing that it isn't doing is identifying the individual speakers. So if mm-hmm. you if you want to do that part, I mean you can listen to each line in the app and then assign whatever speaker you want to each line.
Yeah, or group that isn't lines. Yeah, that isn't an not an issue. That's a limitation of the underlying OpenAI Whisper models.
Okay.
And it's not because it's really hard. It's not supposed to do that anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, but so I mean, what you can do it. Yeah, what you can do is like if you're recording separate audio tracks, for example, which by the way, Zoom can also do. You can tell Zoom to separate, like have a separate audio file for each speaker or for each participant. Then you have separate audio files, and then you can just run all of them separately, and you have transcripts, and you just have to merge them somehow.
So if you have a paid license, I believe Mac Whisper will merge those for you.
Okay. So
there you go. That would be the fix right there. This thing works so well. I've been using it for client meetings where I want to have notes of literally everything we're discussing. So we record our meeting and then we're done. I just drop it onto Mac Whisper and let it create a transcript for me. And now I have all the notes for literally everything that we said. And like I can crunch an hour long video into a transcript in a minute on my M2 Mac. And if it's like a short meeting, it's so fast. It'll run on an Intel Mac, but they say you should really have an Apple Silicon Mac to take advantage of this. This app is just fantastic. And I love that you can use it for free. Pay the 16 euro just to support the developer because it's that good. And
if you're a journalist, you can get 50% off.
Ooh.
That's so on the page.
Yes, that's on the page. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So
podcaster,
there you go.
Journalist, also it's not that much. It's not that much.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean 16 euro.
You spent my money, Jeff.
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised because this is really good. I mean,
I've been wanting to do this for the podcast for a while. I use Authentic to do the leveling of the audio, mm-hmm. and most podcasters will use that. They just added that feature into their service that's included mm-hmm. in each episode that you convert. So
yeah, I remember you mentioned that. Yeah.
I used the
Authentic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great service. And
you really, get gives what you was good it, 2 hours assurance. a day or something? 2 hours a
yeah,
month?
I buy blocks. I just, you know, yeah, I just me pay, too. By like 10 hours. I don't want to buy that monthly because I may not use it all. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more economical just buy 10 hours. And then once you get with burn out the 10 hours, you buy 10 more hours.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what I do.
But they just added this transcripting part of it recently. So I've been starting to explore that a little more. I do need to have some transcripts in the
show. Nice. I just dropped a link for Afonic into the live chat. Yep. So it's there for
all Foodie Flashback episodes have a transcript.
Nice.
Nobody knows about that because I never posted it anywhere.
Better go back to on the server. See what I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, yes, a handy tool for podcasters who want to have a transcript of their show. Mm-hmm. Or like for me, where I want a transcript of meetings so that I have the best notes I can possibly have. You can use it for free or just support them. Pay the 16 euro. I tried it for free and downloaded the highest quality language set that you get with the free version. And after I did a couple transcripts, I was like, I don't actually need the paid version because this works so well. It does everything I need. Doesn't matter. Paid for it anyhow, just to support him. So there you go. Mac Whisper. And sorry, not an ASMR product. Sorry, Ben. Yes.
That can be found on onlymacs.com.
Right. Yeah, and I think, isn't it just me doing like this? Yeah. All right. Well, it's been great being a host for the show, and I'm assuming after today, that just ended. Hey, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at my Wraith or my Wraithic.tech website. Mm-hmm. You can also find me at Ben Wraithic on social media. You can find me here Thursdays and Fridays, Thursday nights on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. I think we're familiar with him.
Mm-hmm.
And most Tuesdays. I bribe my way on to Chuck Joyner's show.
Awesome. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I am here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays, also on the Big Show on Thursdays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, if you want to buy me a coffee, all of that, literally everything I do, you can find on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food-related stories and memories, there is my podcast, Foodie Flashback, at foodieflashback.com for all those awesome people.
Awesome. And each episode with a secret transcript.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com. Got YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. And on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night. Well, we were off this week because Chuck was out of town, but we'll be back next week. You find me on Mastodon at DaveG65 at Mastodon.cloud. And thank you.
Awesome. And Dave, I do appreciate how tolerant you are of me. So thank you for that. All right. So you can find me as Jay Gamut on pretty much any of the social media platforms, Mastodon and Instagram. That's where I'm most active right now. For shows, because Chuck just doesn't seem to learn, he keeps letting me on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Then on Thursdays, here for the Big Show, then Thursday evenings, because Dave still hasn't learned and keeps letting me on In Touch with iOS. And here on the Mac Show on Fridays. Then also Brian Chaffin and I have teamed up and we're doing the Context Machine.
He also hasn't learned.
Okay, here's the funny thing about that. So when Dave and Brian sold Mac Observer, Dave took Mac Geek Gab with him. Of course he did, because how could he not?
It's his baby.
Right. And then Brian took Apple Context Machine with him because he had this idea that he wanted to do a show with me again. And what better way to do it than to take the show that we had been doing together? And yeah, so he's like, I've got this. What do you think? What do you think? And so then I was like, all right, but we both wanted to talk about more than Apple, so we changed it to The Context Machine, and we're having a lot of fun with it. So
you
yeah,
did a great show.
Thank you. Yeah, so the fact that Brian and I do a show together is right now because apparently Brian is a glutton for punishment and said, let's do a show together again. So there you go. Hey, thank you to all of you for just being so awesome and putting up with me ranting through the entire show, basically. You are all amazing and awesome. And hey, everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here and for being part of the show. And everyone that participates in the live chat, thank you for being part of that as well. If you watch or listen to the show later, thank you for being part of the BTN family. Yeah, love all of you. Doesn't matter if you're with us live or watching or listening later, you're all awesome. And TSO host, thank you for being here to support us and give them some online love. Ewan, thank you for just being you, speaking of love. And Muller, get better. And thanks for making sure we have people for shows every week. And yeah, so let's see. That means that I need to remind everyone to join us next Thursday for the big show. And then again on Friday for the Mac show. And hey, don't forget to check out the Daily News show because that is happening again. And Kyle is doing a fantastic job and just love him for that. All right. So with that, hey, everyone have an awesome weekend and we'll see you again next week.